is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
The Alan Skerritt Scholarship Fund Committee is pleased to announce a showing of community member Alan Skerritt's photography collection, which includes many of his original works. The opening event is scheduled at the Columbia Green Community College Library from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday, September 27th, and the exhibition runs until October 14th. The Alan Skerritt Scholarship is meant for a student at Columbia Green Community College majoring in human services or psychology and who has demonstrated a commitment to social justice in the community. More information can be found at columbiagreen.edu. And any questions may be addressed to jeffrovitz@gmail.com. That's jeffrovitz@gmail.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Johnny Sturman in Lexington, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Every Monday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. you can listen to our Modulism radio show.
Welcome to the Thingularity Radio program, broadcasting live from the Catskill Maker Syndicate Nuclear-Based Hurricanes Studies Center. How is everybody doing tonight? No, now you talk.
Good, how are you?
Identify yourself.
I'm Mackenzie.
Hi, Mac, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Awesome.
Good.
No, I'm going to ask you again, how you doing?
Really good, how are you?
I'm just messing with everybody tonight. Next to her is Greg. Greg, how are you tonight?
Oh, good. Thank you.
Glad to have you back, man.
Hey, glad to be here.
And to his left is Tom. How you doing?
I don't know how, but I am.
Is that a where or a how or a why?
I don't know, but it's been carrying me for 80 years, and I guess it just ended.
And passing the Ducci on the left-hand side. Brian, how you doing over there, buddy?
Just knocking the Nintendo over.
I'm not equipped for this.
You don't have to talk. You could just sit there and
no,
laugh.
No, I wasn't aware of that even being a part of the room.
Oh, yes. Yes, you see, our sound guy is nuts and has a giant dipole antenna. And I mean giant as in it's made out of PVC and it towers above his head. Because he wants to make darn sure he gets that WGXC signal. And that antenna does threaten to basically fall on any one of us at any moment. So there is a hint of danger at any moment. Just more fun around here.
Yep. Just playing hard mode.
Does anybody have anything they brought with them mentally that they want to talk about? Science-wise?
I thought we were going to talk about the battered weather.
The better weather is up here. The battered weather is down south where they're pulling bodies out of trees. And not for... How do you drown in a tree?
Wow, man.
Well, no, I feel like... Okay. I'm the weatherman and I have no sympathy for anybody inside the great state of Florida. Sorry, we warned you. We warned you days ahead of time. You saw it coming. Georgia, man, sorry. North Carolina, wow, didn't see coming. Holy crap.
Well, that was it was all the deep these canyons that fill up with the rivers fill them up.
North and South Carolina get battered by hurricanes, but not the Appalachians. That's the western side. That's supposed to be out of harm's way. And this time, it just flipped around in a question mark shape from the Big Bend in Florida up through Georgia, and then it's kind of flipped through Tennessee and then back in North Carolina. And there, how many
like
trillion galleons
from hell.
Dumped? How many trillion galleons? Someone gave it a
20, 40, 40 trillion, something
40 trillion
monstrous.
Gallons of water.
Well, it's like a perfect storm of highs and lows.
It just sat there. That was the problem. Is even though it was like rotating in this little area, its edges were overlapping consistently, and it was just dropping water and water and water. And what sucks is everybody watches the rain come to an end, they leave their house, and then the storm surge starts to rise, and that's what gets you. It's bad. Like, and especially around there, they're not used to it. They wouldn't know it's coming.
Yeah, they don't. Who knows what 6 to 12 inches of rain looks like until it comes barreling down the canyon?
30
yeah, banging
inches.
On your door.
30?
In North Carolina.
Oh,
30 inches.
Oh, that's why they got hit so hard.
Near
Asheville. Yeah, it was catastrophic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, my God.
In like a 12-hour span.
Yeah.
What do you even do with that amount of
even
water?
Even if you got that in a 20 or 30 or 40-hour span, it would still have the same end game.
Singing in the rain. I'm just singing in the rain.
No, it was.
Too soon.
I'm happy.
No, that's the other thing about not knowing. Like, that storm, it was sort of the biggest thing that hit the band right there, Florida, in 140 years.
We gotta laugh, because if we don't laugh, it's pure tragedy.
Pure tragedy.
Yeah. That's awesome. Like,
140 years. Like, your great-grandpa, who's not around anymore, never seen a storm that big. That's how big it was.
You gotta watch the way I said perfect storm. It's like, even with plenty of warning, they were totally unprepared for that.
Yeah, if no generation remembers where the lowlands are, you're not really sure, and if you're not paying attention. I was looking at this one guy who was, I think it was Marshall, above Asheville. It's a smaller town, and they got wiped too, even though they're a smaller river and whatnot. He said, we're prepared for like 19 is sort of prepared for it. 27 feet of water, no, and everything got washed. Like, there was no handling it. It just hit highlands that you weren't expecting.
Here's
an extra 10 feet.
Here's a fun bit of trivia. Why are cemeteries and graveyards always on a hill?
Because
coffins float.
Yeah, they're the only ones that haven't floated away yet.
Some of these cemeteries were in areas that never flood because they're on hills.
It didn't flood.
And they flooded.
Oh.
And there were coffins floating through
town.
It
happens.
Because it just comes up through the dirt.
Yep.
Dirt turns to mud, and you just turn into a buoy.
Yeah.
Especially that dirt's already been loosened up some.
Oh, by all the rain, yo.
Whew. Good thing the big storms like that don't come up here.
Good thing zombies aren't real, and we're not trapping vampires in the
right up.
That was a joke, because the reason why
valley,
I'm up here
right
is
up
blown out of the city
it's a
from
funnel.
A big storm 12 years ago.
Sandy. Hey, that can happen.
Sandy.
Storm surges will run up that river. Later.
Yeah, we got hit by Sandy.
Man.
Yeah.
Platykill.
Yeah, that's what.
Platykill.
That was a perfect storm.
Sandy,
one of my memories of Sandy was going up, blown out of the city, going up into the mountains here. Going into a cafe, and they was like, oh, it was open, a little diner up there. I'm like, oh, wow. You guys got hit hard by Sandy, didn't you? He's like, no, we just reopened. This was from Irene.
Wow.
Well, a year and a half later, when I was up there, but they were still rebuilding from Irene because Prattsville got annihilated. It took years, even a year after that, they're still hauling some homes away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and this was like a twice as big a damage as that storm down there, so
right.
They say, oh, it's going to take months to rebuild. No, some places, it'll be years before these little towns recover, even if they can.
Okay, so it's attributable to the bathtub temperature of the Gulf, right?
Where it got really hot at the end there and just super sped it?
Yeah, we're in a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Cat 2 for a while, and it would have just stayed that way if that water wasn't that hot. The winds would have never picked up that fast. And it would have followed likely the same overall path, But that path would have been less destructive. It would have been just dropping a lot less water the whole time, and the winds would have been damaging less, taking out less power, infrastructure, etc.
Yeah.
It's exponential.
Well, how do you turn the thermostat down on an entire Gulf of Mexico?
They're ice cubes. Why didn't we think of that?
All right, so what do? We have some ships go up to the Arctic, cut off some glaciers, and just haul them on... And just haul them on down and just drop it right in the middle.
Gas station, grab a 5-pound bag. Everybody do
one lump or two.
Everybody do.
Wait.
That sounds like it'll totally work.
Yeah. Why don't we just?
No. How hard is it to snag an iceberg?
Do you remember that tweet that used to be from like 2010 maybe? There was this tweet where this girl was like, "Seriously, ISIS guys, stop. Serious, like." It's the same kind of thing.
Well, do you remember
Just stop. Seriously.
Do you remember that tabular iceberg that broke off of Antarctica that was the size of Delaware?
Yeah.
And they tracked it for like a year and a half, and it went all the way up to, I think, the Falkland Islands or someplace. So one ought to be able to just like tow an iceberg.
Let's put an engine on this thing and drive it south.
Exactly.
Hold on. I mean, okay. The problem is it's going to bob around in the water, and the water around it's going to cool, and then it's going to immediately sink, and it's not going to spread laterally. So you would actually need to put a bomb on it and blow it to pieces so it turned into a giant, like, glass of ice.
Yeah, too bad we don't know anyone around here that makes bombs. You know, that's not what we do.
Nah, our country doesn't do that. Not at all.
Blow up stuff?
Make bombs. Not us.
This is just an idea. I mean, an iceberg under the hurricane. It might work.
I want to hear more about the nuclear hurricane.
The nuclear...
Well, we're in the laboratory with it right now.
Can you imagine the fallout from that?
At the Singularity Broadcast Center.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay. I don't like the idea of nuking a hurricane. Nobody does because you don't want to spread fallout. That's stupid.
The damage is worse.
But I've been thinking if you set off a nice big old conventional weapon in the right spot or two, you could destabilize a hurricane and have it just collapse.
A puff.
In theory.
Theory. But the problem is I need the Air Force to help me out here. Like, someone needs to do me a solid and just go drop, like, a test thermobaric
Joe,
right over.
Is this an official ask?
Official ask. I guess you could do that right. I was thinking, like, no, the winds are going to blow away. But if you actually circle down into the eye and do it there.
No.
Circle down into the eye and blow it out.
You want to blow the top off of it. You want to cut its head off.
From above it.
Because if you have hot water beneath and you can't alter that, and you can't destabilize the circular winds that are forming, you have to collapse the wind flow coming from the top. And that's what wind shear does. When wind shear forms naturally, it will destroy forming hurricanes. It will knock formed hurricanes down in numbers. And when I was watching the wind shear against the steering currents before Helene struck, it was basically like the atmosphere was curling. It swept the atmosphere nice and smooth and soft so that Helene could just ride it all the way in with no fear of wind shear knocking it down at all. But if we could artificially generate that wind shear in a small local area, like you don't have to like knock out a whole hurricane, just a quarter of it.
Right.
Knock that down, and then the rest kind of collapses.
That's downgrade, yeah.
That's still a big cloud of fuel. That's like big. That's like
This suggestion is like coming from someone in New York and not someone in Louisiana.
It's like a swarm of large planes. Just
if I lived down there, I might not be having this idea.
Guys, what if we didn't do that?
The hurricane's going to cause damage anyway. Give it a shot, and then watch. It turns out that all the extra heat just from the top supercharges
just feeds it.
Yes, it just makes it grow stronger.
It's our first Cat 5 hitting the...
What could possibly go wrong?
You know, so it'd be after some minor miscalculations. You are now all dead.
Our computer models were incorrect. And sorry, my bad.
The simulations ran perfectly on my machine.
I mean, that should give you comfort. while you sit there in your flooded houses?
Do you guys remember a few years ago there was a Japanese scientist working on harnessing the energy from a hurricane, and they say that there's so much energy there you could power, you know, half of the United States for 25 years.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Like, release 1,000 wicked witches of the West into the storm to, like, slow it down and take the energy?
You know.
Well, you don't need a wicked witch of the West, but you could have a... How about 1,000 drones? How about... What if you could just steer the hurricane?
Get a quick reference on that.
You don't gotta kill it. What if you just steered it out into the ocean every time? Just
like herd it to a wind farm.
No. Well, like I said, you know how I said like
already do.
Pour all the water through a turbine. It's a lot of water. It's coming down real fast. Spin the turbine up, generate juice, and momentarily it would power the entire continent. But wait a minute. Now what? It made more power than was needed instantaneously, and there's
no
way
to store
it. So what you need then is to capture the water as a storage thing, like they were going to do on Storm King. Remember that?
I think pump it uphill.
Pump it uphill, and then let it out when you needed it at peak hours.
It's a valid idea.
If you have a basin that'll swallow that much water.
Atsushi Shimizu is a Japanese engineer and the founder and CEO of Chal Energy, a venture company that is developing a wind turbine to harness the power of typhoons. A robust egg beater shaped wind turbine designed to
vertical.
Withstand the incredible force of a tropical
cyclone
and to harness it.
Yeah, those are coming on. The egg beaters are I like them. I like that design as opposed to the pinwheel. Because egg beater puts the generator right down on the ground where you can get your hands on it.
You'll see designs like that more in Europe.
Yeah.
Vertical blades. But,
right.
I mean, every bit of energy you take from that wind is reducing the energy of the overall hurricane. So if you had enough of them out there, you could turn that Cat 4 into a Cat 3, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. If you get an egg beater and you go out and you start swirling the blades of it inside the hurricane in the reverse direction, it'll stop the spin. Just get a bunch of egg beaters.
No, you just need one giant egg beater to spin it backwards.
Yeah, that's it. Reverse the flow.
I mean...
That or a Sharpie. I think a Sharpie is the best way to redirect it. But
now, if those egg beaters could like be hooked up to pumps that could bring water from about 1,000 feet down to the surface, that would cool it down. That would cut it off at the knees.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is it's shallow when it comes ashore. The hot water is shallow.
Yeah, but no. That's what I'm saying. Like you send like these things out like
way out there
on platforms.
Yeah.
Out into the ocean to catch it before it hits.
Catch it, yeah. Stud the Gulf with these retired oil platforms because we're not going to be using oil.
Yes, perfect. Perfect use for them. Just load them, turn them into wind farms, and then we can give all the whales cancer.
I have an idea on how to deal with hurricanes. We
kill
when
birds.
One comes, stay out of the lowlands. And go inside a bunker.
Listen to the weather people when they tell you to run. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased.
No, we've never had a 30 feet of water surge.
No, but we have watched towns nearby get wiped away by storms.
I mean, going back to Sandy, I think that we were talking about this at the, like, when we first met. I think we talked about Sandy a bit, but I remember, I mean, coming from Long Island.
Oh, God.
And I used to work at a fishing station during that time. So I remember I went down because I was going to help them because the fishing dock got completely pulled away to sea. So we were going to build a new one. And as I'm coming down, I remember seeing when his houseboats were thrown into other houseboats.
Yeah.
Like, totally shattered and crashed.
Yeah, it's like Godzilla was there.
Yeah, it was horrifying and devastating. Like, just seeing people, like, wandering in the streets, like, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
Well, they do that anyway.
That was, but even yeah. more so.
Yeah, right.
Everyone's zombied out, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. If I really wanted to see that, I could just go a little west into the city, I guess.
Well, how rough is the subsurface current as the hurricane passes over?
What do you mean?
Below the surface.
I mean, the current's going to do what the current does. It's not going to be affected.
It's not going to be affected. So yeah. If we all go in our submarines, we're cool.
Yeah.
Yes, we're fine.
If you go onto your billionaire submarine, sir.
The fish don't really give a crap. Now, there are repercussions that last outward from that. Like, island nations and, like, shores will suffer consequences, but the fish don't give a crap. Sorry, Greg.
It's a little off topic, but have you guys heard of the Seasteading Institute? It's like the inverse or opposite of the homesteading. People that are starting to move to the sea, and one of the ideas was in places like the Caribbean, where there's plateaus that are, you know, just below the surface of the water, maybe 20 to 40 feet down, people building homes on the substrate at the bottom, and then you have like a, you know, an entrance at the top that you can just, you know, and there's no ocean currents, no weather, you know, just and of course it's international water, so you know they're creating they're looking at new ways of formulating the legality of that.
Right.
Water,
the United Nations
angles to
capture.
United Nations will have to add the nation of the dolphins or something like that.
I hope they got some 50 cows to keep the pirates away.
Yeah.
It's BioShock.
And they're making 135th nation is subsurface, submarine.
They also have some surface initiatives. Like there's a lot of cruise lines that are just junked, and people are taking those and turning them into condos and so on, just parking them outside of the.
And they rust.
Yeah.
They rust.
Well,
that's bad. It's salt water.
Yeah.
It does a lot of damage to boats.
It eats everything.
And then there's another initiative that a lot of nations like Tahiti are looking at, where they are likely to be affected by global warming, rising ocean. And what they're doing is building on the surface of the ocean and then using hydrothermal energy instead of geothermal. And there's already a I wouldn't call it a city, but there's already an initiative
village?
In Tahiti. Yeah.
Where they're living on the water, or they're just extracting energy from
They're living on the surface of the water.
On the surface of the
water. And they're extracting energy because the temperature difference of the surface and the underneath.
But you still probably get wiped out by big waves and winds.
Wouldn't you get pruny fingers?
You want the pruny fingers when you live out there.
No, they have little hutches, hovels.
No, wait, I'm being stupid. Sorry.
Pruny. Oh, God.
It's too much bath time.
Bath time?
It always seems like a good idea until it's not. Pruny fingers.
Mm. Nah, pruny fingers increase your ability to grab things underwater and when they're wet.
Is that why?
Yeah, the friction increases. And it's not because your fingers saturate or anything. It's because the actual internal physical components of your finger begin to retreat internally, and your skin just bunches up because of it. It's like a weird mammalian bioreaction.
It's like from our salamander DNA.
Hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking, was that movie?
That's why some people
The Shape
can't
of
get
Water?
Pretty.
Wasn't that a movie that was out?
Yes, that was a movie.
Wasn't that? Yes, I don't remember watching.
Yes,
enough
that
of it.
Was a very interesting movie.
I think, wasn't there someone that could.
A creature that lived in water.
Yeah, it was creature.
Salamander
right.
creature? Was it a horror movie?
Strangely anthropomorphic.
It was like a romance. I
strangely
think.
Anthropomorphic, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
As all the sci fi creatures are.
Why can't we have one creature that's not anthropomorphic? For God's sake.
Because they don't speak like the British accent.
What can we have?
They did that on Orville. They had an alien creature that was just a blob. Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald's character.
Played his voice. And he was just a blob, and they did him right, too. Like, he was always covered with, like, garbage and lint because he's always rolling around on the floor, and he's a blob, and it's always, like, sticking to him.
Isn't everyone a blob?
And he got it on with the ship's doctor. So that was...
What?
Yeah!
Okay.
Wait, what is this?
Better than a
couch. The Orville. It's basically Seth MacFarlane's version of Star Trek.
Star Trek The Next Generation, yes. Very specifically.
Yeah.
It's his homage to The Next Generation.
So. Always lubricated. I'm a blob. I'm always lubricated.
Yeah.
Well...
There's certain benefits.
Anybody ever like need to borrow him for like? You know, never mind. Never mind.
No, you remember those things that you can like put in like your car vents to like pull out all the dust in the cup. You put it in the cup holders and you pull it.
Yep. He's like one of those sticky things you throw at the wall and watch it just flop down slowly.
You know what? I actually in my parents' house, in my family house, there's a like grease print.
For when you threw the hand up.
The hand, the sticky hand. I threw it up there because I was like. Like, it just stayed there for, I don't know, years.
Archaeologists will be studying.
I didn't realize that it wasn't there until I looked up and I was like, that's very much grease. That's grease on the ceiling in the shape of, like, four fingers.
Are you sure it wasn't Joey Buttafuoco or one of them?
Why? You hope it's grease.
Long Island.
Long Island.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still hung up on the apocalyptic destruction.
Which, down south? Yeah well.
Because those were the links I'm still looking at from what we accumulated.
You know, that Asheville area is where Black Mountain College was.
I was going to say, was.
Yeah. Well, it shut down 60 years ago, maybe. No, more than 60 years ago, 80 years ago. But it's where Bucky Fuller was a teacher. And, a lot of... 20th century modernism came out of that particular campus.
Just out of a little campus in Asheville.
Yeah, Black Mountain College.
And where was that?
Near Asheville.
Near Asheville. Black.
Yeah. Same. You know, retreat to a nice location. It's always nice, you know. Maybe some mosquitoes you don't want to see, but basically it's far enough south so the hills never get all that cold.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see much snow.
Mm-hmm.
It's temperate. So people have been migrating to exactly the area without any expectation that they were in harm's way.
Yeah, there's some people I know from Brooklyn who got blown out of the waterfront there and moved to Asheville. I think they're there right now.
They were there.
So they got Sandy blew them out of New York, and I'm not sure how they're doing in
No one's doing well in Asheville.
And people were giving that sheriff in Florida crap over telling everybody, well, if you're going to stay, please do us a solid and write your name and social security number in Sharpie on your body.
Indelible ink.
On your arm.
Indelible ink.
Like, and people were like, that's gruesome. You shouldn't say that. And he's like, we need the help because you're stupid. Because
we'll still be looking for you if you don't write your thing down. Yeah.
That's going to help us. That's going to help us tell your family that you were not that smart.
Closure.
Just have a QR code like on your teeth.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's my cat. Here's my dog. And here's me. We all have microcodes. You familiar with that? You slip a microcode under the skin of a dog.
Yeah.
RFID bubble.
Well,
that's how that one family took their cat on vacation. Right. In Arizona, and
800 miles later,
cut 800 miles closer to the house.
Was that cat was
like 2-hour drive away from their house.
No. That cat Cape Feared it all the way home. It was clinging to the underneath of the vehicle. You know it.
I couldn't find it. Where are my glasses?
The
They're
call
on your head.
Is coming from
inside. Counselor.
Well, we know.
We
know where we are, right? We're on WGXC. That's where we are.
90.7 FM. That's right. Acre, Catskill, and something else.
Caro.
Hudson. Greenville?
Asheville.
Is it
Hudson?
Is it?
No.
Acre.
Asheville. That place ran away or got washed away. Damn.
That was the best station ID ever. Sir.
You're listening to WGXE 90.7 FM, Catskill, Agra, Hudson. Radio for open ears.
Community.
Oh, you.
Radio.
I couldn't just end on a
Bronx cheer in the ear.
I couldn't.
That's terrible.
Those raspberries were specifically for the FCC. I hope they enjoyed the station ID.
I know. They're four-letter raspberries.
Yeah. I got a John Cleese song for you guys.
No,
not for another half hour. Then we kick it on over to the after show. So I'm just going to let everybody know that if they are interested in listening to that, nope, Brian, nope, beer yet. The after show entails us diving into some contraband and going FCC free. To listen to that, head on over to WGXE.org. Click on the listen button. The tab that springs up will give you all the options available to the great listeners of WGXE. And at the bottom, you'll see Thingularity listed there. Click that button, open us up, and we will be playing Sans Mainstream. I mean, you can keep listening to them if you want, but our party's going to be a little interesting tonight.
I don't know.
I got a feeling.
Listen now before we migrate to Tom Rose Pirate Radio.
What was that?
I say, listen now before we migrate to Tom Rose Pirate Radio.
That's right.
Ooh. Can we simulcast on?
We can do whatever
it's
we
pirate.
Want.
Pirate. Har.
We are open and free, and nobody tugs at our strings.
Freedom.
We are out from under
freedom.
Your thumb.
That is why we respect our host station.
Freedom.
They don't mess with us.
They're good. They're good people.
Yes, we appreciate it.
Think of all the electromagnetic waves that are being generated so that this microphone can be heard in a radius of 50 miles. I mean, it's energy that's being thrown into the sky.
Yeah, I'm picking it up on my fillings.
You and
okay,
Shirley MacLaine.
Lucille Ball.
Me and Shirley MacLaine. Yeah. Well,
are you from the Pleiades also?
The sisters? You know, that's what the Pleiades are.
Sisters?
Four sisters?
Yeah, they're the stars that are the sisters, the Pleiades.
It's not really a constellation, it's a grouping of stars.
Well, it's always mysterious when you see stars that seem to be in the same place. And in fact, it turns out they're separated by a great distance. It's the depth dimension that you can't see because your stereo vision doesn't work past the length of your arm. So if you're holding your arm out toward the Pleiades, you can't see that three of those stars are in a different place than the fourth.
It's an optical illusion.
Yes, it's 2D versus the third dimension.
Well, you know, we can get a little bit of 3D if you take pictures from opposite sides of Earth's orbit. You can get a little bit of parallax. Now, what if you were to, you know, we do move around the
sun,
the Milky Way.
Oh, that.
So, you know, we're moving through the Milky Way faster than we're moving around the sun. So, you know, if we could harness that parallax somehow.
The speed is.
Well, now you got us right up to
relative.
The 20th century.
It's going to take us a long time to circumnavigate.
Relative to the size of space,
Like, we're moving really, really fast, but the galaxy's really, really, really big.
The way we do it is the redshift. Because everything is moving away from everything else. And therefore, the spectrum of any known element, hydrogen or helium or anything that's glowing out there, its absorption lines and its emission lines are shifted by the velocity of the object that you're looking at. So you start using the redshift.
Poppycock! Those photons are just getting tired.
Well, it may be that the photon there's some unresolved mysteries about the like what is dark energy so called That's what's pushing us apart.
That's the cosmological constant.
It's apparently not constant.
Well, if the speed of light was relative, then that maybe dark energy and dark matter don't exist.
It's possible, but dark gravitational effects are apparently real, and we can even see some galaxies that don't have it, and they spin weird.
Yeah.
So it's all the evidence is kind of piling up that, you know, dark gravity is a thing. It's not really, we don't know if it's matter, but we know it's a gravitational influence.
Dark energy.
That's different. That's
and then,
what they
well, are you calling it dark gravity? Okay. Some people call it dark matter, but it might not be matter. It might be an exponential loss of gravity over distances. There are many possible explanations for the phenomenon that don't require particles.
Modified Newtonian dynamics is sort of petering out.
No, it's still answering.
No, it's making, I was a proponent, but it does not seem to be holding up.
Well, and you should listen to Sabina Hoffenstaffer or whatever her name is.
I would love to. Like I said, I was a big proponent.
She has been a proponent for modified gravity.
But like I said, we've seen examples where there are galaxies that seem to be bereft of dark matter, energy, gravity, whatever. But
they're not the same thing. Dark matter and dark gravity are different things. And it's not
right,
called
right.
dark gravity. It's called dark energy.
I call it dark gravity. No, dark energy is the acceleration between spaces, and the dark gravity is dark matter.
Dark matter, yeah. Or we might call it invisible.
Well, whatever it is, we need to start harnessing that.
Yeah. Sorry, tangent. Yeah. We just got locked into that.
That's the American spirit. You know? There must be a way to turn a buck on this stuff.
Can we send the Marines to get us some of that?
Galaxy together. If it's holding the galaxy together, there must be some way we can use it.
Well, if we can get it to fall apart, we can threaten everybody's existence. They'll pay us to keep them safe.
Well, yeah, we might be able to turn gravity on and off.
Down as we speak.
I wonder if we could turn gravity off.
First of all, what is gravity?
That would be cool.
Gravity is space-time that's been warped by mass.
One second.
It has to do with those bosons out there.
The Higgs boson?
Yep.
Well, Bose was a very interesting physicist. But boson makes it sound like...
No, that's bozo.
Well, from where I come, that's probably the way you could explain almost everything. It's a comedy. That's all.
What I want to know is when I use other forms of energy, I can usually track where the photons are going, where the kinetic energy is being used, where the potential energy is being built up. But when I start thought experimenting how that energy is transferred into gravitational effects, it's just burning chemicals to put a rocket into a higher orbit.
Yeah.
Where does that energy go?
Primitivo.
I mean, where does it go?
Where does it go? What does it turn into?
So it's just Newtonian. It's all based on the movement of the mass out the ass. If you move the mass out the ass, the rocket goes in the opposite direction. That's basic Newtonian.
But that's not. But that's just so it just gets converted into sheer movement. Hmm. Gravity is nothing but
kinetic.
Movement.
It's got nothing to do with gravity. It's got to do with the momentum of the mass that's been converted in the chemical rocket.
But where is it being, like...
The mass is being ejected at a high velocity. The same mass that was in the rocket in the tanks, the big heavy tanks.
No tanks.
They're filled... No tanks to you. They're filled with liquid helium and liquid oxygen.
Yeah.
And when they react, they create pressure. And so the molecules that are water primarily are shot out the back at a high velocity. And since you preserve momentum, the rocket has to move in the opposite direction. It can only move in the opposite direction. It can't move in the direction where the water is being squirted, so to speak. And so that is primitivo. We need more advanced ways of moving mass off the planet because the consumption...
What if we were to do the opposite and I were to, say, push a rocket against the general motion of a body spinning in orbit around a sun and I were to cancel out its energy and make it fall into the sun? Where did that energy go?
Well,
or are we just talking math and I'm just adding negatives to a positive?
Well, yeah, you've incinerated the rocket, if you know.
Yes. And we've had
now you can look at the now you can look at the glowing mass through your telescope, and you'll see that we burned that rocket up. But basically, we need better ways of causing mass to move. So there are experiments being run that compress the time-space dimension. And when you do that, inside the bubble that you create, it's sort of like
warp drive.
Yeah, it's like a warp drive.
Warp space
dimension. Now, that takes it to a place that is going to, you know, conceivably allow travel at a meaningful velocity.
Those ships will be created out of exotic matter, and they will be shaped like toroids. Toroids.
Oh, a prediction.
Toroids? What will
Well, that's why you tune in here.
They will be flying donuts.
Flying donuts.
Flying donuts made of exotic matter.
What do you think
That's how we make warp bubbles.
Oh, that'd be nice. Flying donuts sounds like a
good
idea.
You think if we're, like, figuring out warp drive, I'm not all over that? Like white on rice.
Maybe
I'm
that's
on that.
Too exotic, but they do have ion engines. There are other ways to
boo, slow, lame. I want warp drive. I want to make.
How about photons?
What about them?
They come from the sun. You have a sail.
Well, if I could turn myself into a photon and I wouldn't experience the passage of time, and I could instantly get to my destination wherever it was pointed, that would be awesome. But that would also require the amount of energy that's infinite to get me to the speed of light.
No, I'm not talking about converting you to a photon. I'm saying that there's photon momentum, which is
which is
being provided all the time from the sun.
Solar sails.
It's solar sail. Yeah.
Some
of the people I'm working with at NASA do that. They at least three groups that I've been working with are building solar sails. Some of the sails are diffraction gratings and can be steered, and so you can fly over the top of the sun, which is really interesting because no one's ever done that before. Another one has a camera built into the sail.
Into the flat?
They use the sail as a photoreceptor.
Sail.
You know, because the photoreceptors are very thin and light, you know. And then there's just the one they just put up is just an old-fashioned sail. I mean, it looks like a parasol.
How big does a sail have to be?
Huge.
Well, as we like to say in America, bigger, better.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything.
It has to be built in Texas.
That's what I was going to say that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it has to be extremely thin.
Yeah.
But we have extremely thin materials, and among the materials I'm looking at now are atomic thickness materials like graphene. Graphene is one atom thick. And think about that. I mean, they call it 2D materials because you can spread the graphene out over an area. But even in a large area, it's still just one atom thick for all practical purposes. It's two-dimensional. It doesn't
really. There is enough of a bond between those molecules to maintain a sheet like that?
Yeah, how do you move that through space junk?
It moves on its own once it's deployed.
Micrometeorites.
It's the mover. But I'm just like, how does it stay together?
That was my question.
Together.
If you have a gasket moving at 40,000 miles an hour, it's going to...
The meteorite we're
moving 40,000 miles an hour, and everything is perfectly balanced and stable in here.
From my point of view, it's not a question of using it as a sail. I'm thinking of it as a sensor. So, graphene.
The eye in the sky.
Graphene reacts to electromagnetic waves. You can take pictures with graphene.
Oh.
And they have. They've demonstrated you can do that, or with other variants of.
So you just want a really, really big-ass telescope. Big-ass telescope.
Molybdenum dioxide, for example, can be made in a single layer, atomic layer, and it's sensitive to visible light. So I'm looking at that as one of the ways I'd build a special camera. The camera gets light from two sides. Now, that's a peculiar situation where the same light originates, and then you split it in half, and you look at it from the front and the back. And what do you think happens? Well, you get these little ribbons of interference. And what those little ribbons of interference in the sensor tell you is how far away the object is. So, for example, using a similar method, Michelson measured the diameter of Betelgeuse in 1920. He's just looking at the little ribbons of light from two offset views of a star that's, I think it's 280 light years away, which is way outside our neighborhood. I mean, that's far away. It's so big that we see it, but to actually measure its diameter using these little ribbons of black and white, that's what I'm interested in. Hmm. And I'm interested in doing it with materials that are one atom thick. So you get the light from two sides. And that isn't how Michelson did it. In order for him to do it, he had to throw away at least half the light to split it. But there's another way to do it, which I'm preoccupied with at the moment, and NASA will tell me whether they'll let me do it, which is almost certainly going to be a no because they got very conservative in their old age. They're using the same rockets they used on the shuttle. I mean, it's bass-ackwards all the way to the HQ. What they like to call it.
What, they can't get to ride with?
Their administrative headquarters is HQ.
To the Batmobile.
Yeah, really. It's like, I mean, what they just did, they could have put those two astronauts.
I'm picturing the astronauts using fire poles and stuff now.
They have two astronauts that are trapped up on the International Space Station because they were too chicken to put them in the return vehicle.
Would you climb into a Boeing and help it get you home?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, the probability of a failure was there, but it was like one part in 200, and they weren't willing to go that far.
One part in 200 is a crazy number committee.
These guys are test pilots for a reason.
Yeah.
Test pilots do take a risk.
Yeah. No, I can talk a little bit about my job. A lot of it is threat modeling and... You have to take into consideration, sure, like the risk that's there, but like the gravity of the risk. So if it's 1 in 200 that, like, you know, I'll lose an arm, but I'll get to where I need to be. Like, let's.
Well, it doesn't work like that. If it doesn't work, you die. Sure. But it's 1 part in 200, and it made it back just fine. It landed exactly where they wanted it.
Oh, hindsight, 2020.
No, I was saying, put them on and get them back. I mean, they took 2 months to test it, and they knew it was gonna work, and it did.
Well, they didn't know they're.
Well, then
you lose a thruster at the wrong moment, and it goes tumbling down, and. You have 1 in 200 chance of becoming a crispy fry.
Yeah, you will become a crispy fry. You don't lose an arm. You do die. You do die. But, you know, if you're a test pilot, this is what you signed on for. And look what's going to happen as a result of their not having done it. Now Boeing has to decide whether they're going to blow $2 billion to build another one for the same test.
That's like... Oh.
Getting paid, because this is not a cost-plus accounting
program. Damn it!
They have to actually... pass the test to get paid.
I hate to bring up Shrek in a moment like this. But I don't know. For some reason, it just reminded me of Lord Farquaad saying, "Some of you may die, but that is a sacrifice I am willing to make."
Hey, that is how. That's called pioneering. That's how we get things done. And I was going to say that those astronauts have nothing to worry about because the Air Force has the X-37 little secret plane that I have theorized that they could put a little life support system on there and be able to evacuate one or two people from orbit if they ever needed to.
But then we would know.
Space Uber.
No. Here's the downside. Guess what? Guess who makes it to?
Boeing?
Boeing. It's the Boeing X-37.
This 737.
X-37.
So it would
X-37 Max?
A Boeing with no pilot, just like the one that landed, except this one's got a much better track record. They use it all the time. Yeah. It spent over a year and over.
Have they crashed any of these? We wouldn't know. No. They're a military one, right?
No, we would know.
Well, because people in the desert would say, "Hey, what was that?"
Exactly. We
over
someone would see it. Everybody's got a cell.
Las Vegas or Lancaster.
I had an argument with a guy that was in the Army about how all-knowing and how all-powerful the Army is. I'm like, yeah, well, we're all-knowing and all-powerful because everybody got a cell phone in their hands. Your technology is getting leaked every day. You're not that special.
Yeah, or is that getting leaked in a way where it's, okay, it's not that big of a deal. Like, there are maybe some things that are kept extra secure.
Commanders, I'm seeing are having some Russian level incompetence. They're not that good.
Russian
the
level
leaks come out. They got a couple secrets, but as far as I'm concerned, not as many as they think they got or they'd like to imply they have.
Okay.
Secrets.
They ain't that good. Worry. They're only good if they're coming after you. If they're defending you... Their tech is getting behind. And I'm getting annoyed that my tax money goes to it. I want more whiz-bang.
You want more whiz-bang? Well, they do have things like... I think there's like actually systems being developed to... in the U.S., DARPA money's going to taking out swarms.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's working, but it's only working...
Well, I don't know if it's working, but I've seen they've been testing
that's
it out.
That's an intractable
It's a microwave... directed microwave weapons to take out drone swarms.
Why take them out, and why is it intractable?
No, not drone swarms. I was thinking of... was it the Keller effect? I'm trying to think of the name of it, where a low Earth orbit fragmentation will result in chain reaction. It has there was someone who gave it.
Oh, that yeah.
Oh, for taking out satellites.
That's an intractable problem.
Once that occurs, there's no going back because the cascade is like done.
Yeah. That's as bad as nuclear war.
Again, that's like the military and other people playing with things that they can, at one point, will lose control of.
Yeah. There is stuff happening there, too. A garbage collection in space is a various program.
Well, the methods that they're proposing. Out of orbit. The methods they're proposing are gyrogirls ridiculous. Like, you know, we'll take out one at a time.
One at a time,
you have
yeah,
a lot of
exactly.
opinions floating around. Care to speak?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
I want to see where the dust settles in this.
Okay.
I just...
Junk settles.
Yeah, space junk. It's just...
Well, it'd be very pretty to watch the re-entry of all the fragments, you know, shooting stars for a week.
It's like the Leonids, but even more.
Yeah, right, with tails. Leonid with long...
Wait, what are you talking about? Why would there be shooting stars?
When the space debris starts to re-enter...
When is that?
No, if
free
all
fireworks.
After the chain reaction.
No, I can't
remember the name of the chain reaction.
The chain reaction, once it occurs, all that stuff stays in place. It's not going to all of a sudden deorbit.
It takes a while to come down, but yeah, it might be.
It will come down. It'll come down.
How many pieces out of the billions that are being created are going to come down?
They'll all come down.
How? Where's the energy going? That it's going to?
No, it's friction. There's actually it's bumping into very thin oxygen. It's up there.
Well, how are you going to keep up with all the shit all the stuff that North Korea is sending up there?
Here we go. So the Kessler effect.
Kessler.
Below 1,000 kilometers, those pieces will re-enter within a few. 100 years.
Yeah, because and that's only because there's air molecules out there outside of that area.
2,500 kilometers. Reentry of those objects may take thousands of years.
Yes.
Wow.
That sounds right.
How many kilometers? We
could take millennia to drive.
We're talking 1,000 kilometers. What are they saying? In 1,000
could take millennia.
1,000 kilometers takes millennia.
Let's call the boundaries Starlink. Below Starlink, everything's going to fall back in. Above Starlink, it's going to hang out for a while. Like a while.
If it's small enough and low, it will hang. If it's tiny debris...
You're talking about paint flecks, which could take out... could take out the space
bits
station.
Bits of bits. Yeah, bits of things.
Also, keep in mind, our atmosphere expands every time we get a nasty solar flare. So that will take out... Like, that's what's going to take out... And give us a nice night of stars is when a solar flare expands the atmosphere enough to engulf a pile of orbiting debris and satellites. It will slow them down enough where they will just deorbit. And once they slow down a little, they encounter more air molecules. They slow down more. They encounter more air molecules and chain reaction and they fall from the sky.
This is radio. We can't see you waving your arms around.
Okay, I'm going to have my fingers sprinkle like rain. How's that sound? Itsy bitty.
Wait, how many fingers do you have, though?
I got 12, but don't tell anyone.
Put a space vacuum up there. I've seen it done in Spaceballs.
Dancing.
You got a space vacuum to blow, and you suck all that stuff out of the atmosphere. It's done. You just build
The code. The code is 12345. It's easy. You get right in.
Yeah. Hey, that's the code of my luggage.
Hey, have somebody change that for me. Put Mel Brooks when you need him.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We're wiling out the show. Hit us in the after party. We're going to be a little bit more relaxed, but a little more open, a little more free. And maybe we can get Mac to talk about some of the things she's afraid to talk about. Somebody crack open the beer.
What are you afraid of?
Where's the beer?
What am I afraid of?
What are you afraid of?
I'll never tell.
No, she's
except
afraid of...
Maybe I will in the after hours.
Of our opinion. Yeah, yeah.
Of our opinion.
So join us, won't you, at WGXE.org. Click listen. Click thingularity. Oh, we'll see you there.
You're sounding creepy, sir. That's being creeped out.
We'll after see. Hours. We'll see you after hours. I'll be looking through the window.
Join us.
Oh. Are you guys going to do...
Right around the corner.
Are you guys going to advertise a 1-900 chat line? What's going on here? Jesus.
Join.
1-800-421-WGXE. Call now for a wonderful time.
Wow.
Our ladies are standing by.
Okay. Oh. As a lady.
And so are the gentlemen. But they're not necessarily that gentle.
Oh.
He's why.
Oh, God, just end the show already. Where's the clock? Come on.
That's, you see what happens?
All right, that
you
is your...
see what happens?
That's your after show preview.
No, it's not a preview.
Just wait till the FCC gets kicked out the door.
We'll sprinkle a shenanigans.
Mm.
We'll sprinkle.
Do you guys remember, like in New York, those 540 lines, like 540, join, J-O-I-N, join.
Are those like party lines? Or like...
You don't want to know.
Okay. They're the kind of thing we've just been talking about, I think.
Was that the only place you could get a gay date back in the early 90s?
There was no moving of fingers for that? Just a swipe left, right? No, there's no... no.
Oh, there's moving of fingers, dial a number? But that comes afterwards.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I was thinking more... Do you remember the Optimum Online commercials from like 15 years ago? They had their little, they had like a little Roomba. They had a little song going.
No.
Can you act it out?
Was it just me? Never mind.
Optimum Online?
That was way before my time.
No, that's got to be like the early.
It was like 877-393-4448. Guess what? It's in my head. I know the
great.
Number to call.
Great. Now people are going to call that number. Oh.
That's
8-6-7-5-3-0-9-9.
Some poor ladies were like, why do people keep calling me?
You always have to use a 555.
There's a phone number that's very close to...
There's
a phone number very close to the station number that apparently some old lady, like whenever there's a pledge drive,
she gets
calls. Yeah.
And she hasn't changed it yet?
Nope.
Oh, my God. That's stubbornness. Wow.
If I were her, I would just start taking credit card numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's actually at one of the first companies where I was working... For whatever reason, the phone number where I was doing like networking, it was also like help desk stuff. So people would call in, you know, because they would have like, you know, problems with their computer or like, you know, problems trading, you know, there would be lines down. But then every once in a while, I'll get a call, you know, because most of them are just like angry traders that are like, why can't I trade with, you know, the lines down, whatever. There'd be some people saying, oh, and you're like, I beg of the pardon. And they say, my blood work, where do I have results yet? And I'm like, I want to say no, but that's because I don't have them, because that's not what we do here. Like,
well, the only answer to that is, oh, yes, I'm so sorry. You tested positive.
Well, what is it that you do?
So you gotta say, I can't give those details over the phone, but I'm positive you're gonna want to talk to the doctor.
Oh wow, that's good. That's good.
Ooh. Like as soon as possible.
You're evil.
Maybe they'll stop calling that number.
It's messed up. It's so good. And we are... I'll be out.
No, we're not. We got a few seconds left.
20 seconds.
All right, everybody. Just remember, there's no such thing as a failed experiment. You've been listening to the Thing of Clarity radio program here on WGXE. Everybody have a great night. We will see those lucky followers in the after party coming up in about 7 seconds.